T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Midday show with Andy and Randy. Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Drink up.
Yeah,
send us a picture, whatever it is that you're drinking. We'll give you a shout-out like Randy's wife did. She's got some whiskey with some bacon on it.
Yeah, man.
It's pretty damn good, man.
Yeah. But she sent me the – I don't know where they are. She sent me the her and her homie Viv, who – you want to talk about, like, loving somebody's friend, but their husbands are just – y'all are just compatible?
Oh, that's Viv's, nice.
Oh, Viv's husband, Juan, that's my dude right there. And Juan, the thing I love about Juan, when Juan would come over and hang out. Juan wouldn't drink. Juan went smoke cigars with me, and Juan has absolutely no clue what the hell football is. Well, for some reason, this dude had me laughing about everything he talked about because he got that hard like Latin accent,
mm-hmm.
Dude. I just like he talks like his name is Juan. He has that deep mommy. And I love Juan. I mean, and Viv, she's great too. But I mean, for her to be drinking whiskey in the middle of the day, that means. Yeah, what time they get out of school? What time they get out of school? What time this show stop?
Yeah, because
I might be doing AMA.
You might have
by
a window.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying. I might be doing the AMA by yourself.
Might have a little window.
You know, but I got a question for you because okay. Me and Wendy were talking because Wendy has a date today, right? Tonight.
Okay. All right. Great.
And I was asking. So this guy, she's going out with a grown up, a grown man.
Yeah, Wendy's a grown up.
Yes, but no, the grown man date is the blazer date.
Oh,
you know, that's a grown man date. Right
I don't
there.
Think I've ever gone on a blazer date, unless it was an anniversary thing with my wife. I never. Is it a first date? Do we know?
No, she said no. I mean, it's a grown man date. When he picked you up with, he got the blazer on.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a grown man date.
Sure.
Yeah. You never did a grown man date before, Andy?
Nope. I've worn a blazer a couple times to like fancy dinners with my wife for anniversaries.
No, I'm talking about
like
no,
that.
No.
Even when you were courting her. Nope.
You'd have a blazer date once?
Nope. Nope. First date, I wore a t-shirt and some Levi's. Second date, we went to a football game, so I wore something to stay warm. And then after that, we were just together. So that was kind of it.
She chose you, huh?
Yeah, I don't know how, man. Hmm. Again, I wonder all the time how I was able to pull that off with the way that I dress and the places that we went. I have no idea. It must not have been better options. I really don't know. But I'm thankful that she did. I would have worn a blazer for her if that's what she wanted. But no, I never went on a blazer date.
But women don't actually wear blazers. That's what you just do, man.
I didn't probably even have a blazer when me and Ashley started dating.
Oh, okay. Well,
my blazer game has really only come together in the last couple of years.
Because you met her.
Yeah. Like in our wedding, I've got the suit that I wore in our wedding.
Uh-huh.
I got the suit that I wore to my brother's wedding.
Mm-hmm.
And I got a suit or a jacket, actually, a blazer that I bought for her friend's wedding. So I got 3 jackets.
That's all you got is 3 jackets?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've never, I mean.
Well, I mean, we're doing radio, so why do we need to?
This has been my job my whole life. I started working in radio when I was 19.
Right.
And technically, and you probably would agree with this, I'm actually like well-dressed for radio. Like I wear shirts that button up sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you're better, like I said, you're a better radio dresser than me. Because all I wear is t-shirts.
Right, but you're a better going out and actually like being a grown-up human being dresser than me.
That I am,
you
Andy.
You got suits and stuff like that.
That yeah. I am, Andy.
I never had a tailored suit before. I probably never will. I'll probably never have a tailored suit.
Every man should have a tailored suit, Andy.
I'm okay. I'm good.
You can afford it, dog.
I can. Sure. Sure,
hey,
I can
afford
it.
Go get you a nice suit, man.
I can afford a new Titleist driver, too, and I think that's what I'm going to get.
I'm going to tell you something, dude. Let me learn you something there, young buck. You think the side pose on the bed was that thought? You show up one day with that tailored suit, Andy. with a pocket square?
Just walk in the door.
With a pocket square?
Yeah. Hey, Andy. I'll give it a shot.
Andy.
She likes my other suit.
Go get it tailored.
I was talking about my birthday suit, Randy. Let's get to the most important audio in the world. Brought to you by Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Talking about
every
being
year,
naked.
I feel like you have to go into it, and you're competing at a job. You know, like I said, it can be taken away from you just like that. So, I mean, for me, it's personally, you know, I have to go out there and I have to win that job, prove to them that, you know, I'm going to be there every day at their basement.
That's Austin Riley there talking about his mentality headed into spring training. And you asked, I love the question you asked Joe Patrick yesterday, because I just hadn't thought of it this way. And you're absolutely right. Whether or not this season is a make or break year for Austin Riley as the future third baseman for the Braves. It is. And yeah. it should be. Like, he's had opportunities. He's still young, but he's old enough and along far enough in his progression to where he should take this job and make it his. And if he doesn't, then they have to go a different direction.
Well,
at
he
some
did
point.
That last year, don't you think? When supposedly competition, or what was that, 2 years ago?
I think he beat out Johan Camargo.
Yeah, I
think there's still, I mean, he went into some really tough slumps.
He goes,
at
and
times
that's the thing
year.
About it, Andy. It's like what I was. Baseball players slump. It just happens. It's just part
it
of the game. It happens. But his seem like they just like.
Yeah, his are like, his, you can't even get on base for like 2 weeks.
Yeah, it's like, damn.
Yeah.
Might as well go out and play with damn with some tennis shoes on. I mean that's how it seems like sometimes. So, yeah. It's an unfortunate situation where he's in, because is there really any competition for him? Remember we were talking about yesterday, competition, bringing a competition. Austin Riley needs competition. You bring in competition for Austin Riley. You ain't bringing in competition for Ozzy. You ain't bringing competition for nobody else in that infield except for him.
I think the competition now for Austin Riley, because I do just think he's beat out Camargo. I think Camargo is going to be on the team. He's a nice bench player to have. He's versatile. If he's hitting the baseball, he's a really great player to have off the bench. I think the Austin Riley competition now is Austin Riley versus every other third baseman that might be available if Austin Riley doesn't play well. Because you know one thing that Alex Anthopoulos always does heading into seasons is he keeps that little bit of money to the side in case they need to make a trade and they need to be able to afford somebody's contract that they bring on. Like Chris Bryant is probably going to be available at some point this season with the Cubs. Like that relationship just isn't good. They're moving on from other pieces that were a part of their World Series team a couple years ago. If Austin Riley doesn't have a good start to this season and goes in a couple of those slumps like we talked about, I think that's probably what they do. You got to go outside the organization.
As currently constructed, how this Braves is, Chris Bryant's an upgrade over Austin Riley no matter what, right?
I agree with that.
Okay.
Yes. Unless Austin Riley comes out this year and plays great. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think
Chris Bryant.
You're talking about a trade deadline. Why not now?
Yeah, well, I mean, I think you still want to see, don't you? Don't you still want to see?
Yeah, I mean, yeah.
You're still optimistic about Austin Riley, right?
I agree. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, but how long do you want to see for? Yeah, exactly. I'm with you. I was all aboard the Nolan Arenado bus. I mean that would have been a huge upgrade. And look what the Cardinals had to give up to get him. It wasn't all that much. So unfortunately, they didn't do that. But yeah, I think that's something to keep an eye on this season. It's not so much the competition between Riley and Camargo. It's between Riley and a trade, if Riley isn't good. The NL East is a very good division. We've talked a lot about this. Here's Bryce Harper saying just that.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is the best division in baseball. I don't think that's even a question. We have, you know, five teams in this. Is it, we have five teams or four in the division?
Five teams
in this division that are really good. Really good pitching, really good young pitching, good bullpens, good lineups. I think this is going to be a juggernaut of a division.
I think that he's right. I think that it's interesting that every year we head into a season and the three teams that get all the hype in this division are the three teams that didn't make the playoffs last year. the Braves and the Marlins are the two teams from the division that did, mm-hmm. and yet the Mets and the Phillies and the Nationals are the ones that continue to get the headlines and markets, I guess, whatever.
Yeah, and I think it's markets, and look what the Mets did, man. I mean,
yeah.
You know what I mean, eventually they're gonna met it up, which I think they will. But
even
I mean,
this offseason they meted it up.
Yeah, I mean,
dude's
damn GM. Yeah, Texas his stuff to a woman that didn't want
his birthday suit.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
See if I can work birthday suit into the segment one more time.
Yeah, that's okay, man. That's all good. But no, they got the thing with the NL is that I like what Bryce said. They got great pitching. The Nationals, great pitching. Mm-hmm. And I think from what I was reading last week, Steven Strasburg, like the surgery, whatever he did, it's going to be it corrected whatever was wrong with him. We know what the Mets can be like when they're healthy. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about those arms. The Marlins got two studs.
Yeah.
I'm talking about studs at the beginning of their run. And then look at the Braves. And the Phillies got, the Phillies got dudes too. So, I mean, the pitching in the NL East is just unreal. That's why I think this is just – I think that if we would go down top to bottom lineup, I still like the Braves lineup top to bottom. Than anybody else in the NL East.
I agree. Yeah, I agree. And honestly, there are ifs. There's more ifs with the Braves starting rotation than there probably are with. I don't know. I mean, there's still ifs with the Nationals. It's all about health with those guys. If Scherzer and Strasburg are healthy, then that's maybe the best 1-2 punch in all of baseball. But if Soroka is able to come back fully healthy quickly, like before the beginning of May. And Fried picks up where he left off, and Ian Anderson is anywhere near where he's expected to be. And the Braves have one of the best rotations in the National League as well.
I agree with you, dude. But I mean, that's just the thing. Like Scherzer and Stras,
yes,
they are proven entities. Right?
They are.
Is Max Fried really a proven entity yet?
No.
Okay.
Not yet. Yeah. I mean, I don't know how long you have to do it. I mean,
that's
I trust that he's going to be good this year. But I understand what you're saying.
You see what I'm saying? Yeah.
Yeah. Not as proven as those guys.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Right.
And I also would say the NL, don't sleep on the NL West either.
I mean,
the NL East may be
deeper. What the Padres have done and everything. Yeah.
The NL East may be deeper, but the top end talent in the NL West with the Dodgers and the Padres is pretty crazy. All right. Clint Capela was on with Dukes and Bell yesterday. We're going to let you hear about 5 good minutes of that interview coming up at 1:20 this afternoon. One of the questions he was asked was about not being in the game at the end of games and if that has anything to do with his health.
I don't know. It's just whatever some games – it's been some games where I finished them, so it's just – the decisions that they're making, and all I can do is just be ready if my name is called to go out there and help my team win.
Yeah, and that's the right answer, obviously, that he can give, but he doesn't know. And it sounds like a guy who doesn't really like it either, and I'm 100% with him. I would love to see Clint Capela on the court at the end more often. It certainly cost you on Tuesday.
It just don't – I mean, for some reason, it just doesn't – you don't understand why.
Yeah,
but
I don't understand why.
I mean, you hear the explanation why and what Lloyd gives, but I just don't understand why.
Mm-hmm.
You know, especially because of the quick turnaround, the possibility that if you miss a shot. You know, I do think that in that situation right there we're talking about, John Collins would have been in that game instead of Gallinari. Maybe,
I think so, too.
You know, but ain't like John the best defender either.
No, but at least he would have jumped.
But at least he would have, at least he would have made an effort to go block a shot.
Yeah.
I want a quick question. Did you see the ending of some of these NBA games last night? Did you see the Denver Nuggets game?
I did.
That is what the hell is wrong with basketball.
How is
it that everybody run to the three-point line?
Yeah, all three of them did.
All three of them ran to the three-point
line. And he threw
line.
It to Campazzo, which, no offense, he's a pretty good player.
God.
But if you're going to have somebody take a three, yeah, you're right. If people didn't see it, there was a 4-on-1 fast break that the Nuggets went on at the end of the game. Jamal Murray's got the basketball. And the three teammates of his, that they all had clear paths to the hoop. They're down 2 points.
Yes.
There's 5 seconds left.
Yes.
They all had clear paths to the basket, and they all stopped at the three-point line.
All of them.
And Jamal Murray, it looked to me like Jamal Murray wanted to throw a pass into the lane, and so he kind of had to double clutch and threw a bad pass to Campazzo.
All of them.
He missed the shot.
All of them ran to the three-point line.
That is, for people that are mad about the overuse of the three-point shot in the NBA, that right there is the video clip that justifies what they're saying.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because
it was bad.
That was just bad, dog.
It was really bad.
That was really, really bad, man. That really was, man. Back to the Braves. Joe Packer just tweeted this out, said Kyle Wright will start for the Braves in Sunday spring opener.
Oh, good.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you got Grapefruit League Baseball on Sunday afternoon. at 1 o'clock. Yesterday, by the way, was like Braves Day on MLB Network. You know, they spend a day on every different team throughout spring training.
Right.
So Snit was on and Alex Anthopoulos was on. They didn't really give, they didn't say a whole lot of new information. They had Ronald Acuna on as well. And they were going through some of his highlights, hitting the ball the opposite way and all that. It was just kind of fun to see the guys talk. Ronald Acuna, and we've seen the videos too this offseason of some of the training he's been doing. He looks like he's in better shape than he's been in before. Because he came into last season kind of banged up, remember? And then he got hurt during the year.
Right.
He looks like he's been healthy all offseason and putting in the work.
Good for him, man. Good for him, man. Because, I mean, this he has MVP, best player in the league talent.
He does.
Yes.
He does. Definitely. He absolutely does. And I wouldn't be shocked at all if he does that this year. Let's quickly hear from Josh Pastner, the head coach of Georgia Tech, talking about what his team has accomplished so far this season.
We set the Georgia Tech record for most ACC home wins in a row with 11. We have back-to-back road wins, largest margin of victory and back-to-back road wins since 85-86 season, back with Mark Price and John Sally. First time to win back-to-back road games since, just forget the margin of victory, since 2005. I mean, we've done a lot of positive things here, and hopefully we can continue that with finishing out the right way over this next stretch of the season.
Yeah, I mean, love it. I love it when people do those stat things like that.
Like, all right, it's true, but
it's true, but
you had to go a little bit of a long ways to find. Okay, but yeah, no, they're playing good, and they had a really nice win earlier this week. They beat Virginia Tech. That's impressive. College Basketball Insider was on the station earlier in the week saying that he's got Georgia Tech as his last team in currently on the bubble. So that would be great. I mean, that's the goal for these guys, right? Pastner's been there long enough to where that's what you should expect. We'll find out if they'll make it. We'll talk more about that also in about 10 minutes from right now with our guy Deshaun Tate. But yeah, that's the goal. From the outset this year was Tech needed to be in the NCAA tournament.
Yep. And then, I mean, that just gives Past another year if they're in. And, you know, he can – I mean, they got – like, the thing with Georgia is, Georgia, we got Anthony Edwards, number one player. We ain't do nothing with him.
Yeah, it didn't
But
really,
they got – yeah. Like, Tech needs to get that. Mm-hmm. Tech needs to get that in their program.
Yeah, and do something with it.
And do something with it. Because we got him. We got him in there. We just didn't do nothing with him there.
Yeah, it was great. And there was a couple highlights, and he had a nice half against Michigan State, but – didn't really result in much, unfortunately. And Georgia's still fighting. They've got a much longer road ahead of them in terms of getting into the NCAA tournament. If they're going to do that, but they still could. They could win some more games and down the stretch and in the SEC as well. So we'll come back. We'll be joined by Deshaun Tate, our college basketball insider, where basketball lives.
Boy, Renee Montgomery, a bad girl. Bad girl, Andy Bunker.
What'd she do?
They just bought out the Dream. She's part of the ownership group.
Really? Oh, good
for you.
Yeah. Right. Deshaun Tate joins us next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy with you here on a happy hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. 20 minutes away from Sports Jeopardy. Still have time to get some questions in if you'd like to. At Wendy Radio, Instagram, or Twitter, direct message with the question and the answer. We'll play Sports Jeopardy 20 minutes from right now.
They say I'm nasty.
We'll get back into what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour as well, and we're going to get to Deshaun Tate in just 1 minute. I did want to spend just another second, Randy, because you mentioned it right at the end of the break,
dude.
And I know Mike mentioned it in the update.
This is
congratulations to Renee Montgomery. And the new ownership group, of course, but Renee Montgomery, who we know and had on the show earlier this week and is doing a great job with the Hawks coverage as a member of the new Atlanta Dream ownership group.
I love it.
She is
She's an amazing
She's been retired
person.
For about 2 weeks.
Yes.
She's killing.
Way to go. Way to go, Renee. Way to go, Rick. Way to go, Miss Montgomery. That's big time right there.
Yeah. One other big piece of local news, and it is NCAA related as we get ready to get to Deshaun Tate. The NCAA vacated their sanctions against Georgia
Tech. Yes, I just saw that.
They appealed the 2019 sanctions and they vacated them. So that's good.
Something happened last year that I forgot. It'll come to me in a second. It happened with Tech. Like they forfeited something and then all that.
But you know who might know?
Yeah, Deshaun. Because, I have a problem. I have some questions about him, about another team that's going on probation too. So
okay.
Go ahead.
Let's get the take.
This is Tate's Take with Deshaun Tate. Featuring NCAA college basketball on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs, a sub above. Deshaun Tate joins us every single Friday at 12:20 to talk some NCAA basketball on the WadeFord.com hotline, Atlanta's Ford dealer. The floor is yours, Randy. What do you want to ask him about?
Hello, first of all, hello, Deshaun. How are you? We do greatly appreciate you joining the show and giving us your expertise. We do appreciate it. Also, I see that you were getting a chance to see your Michigan State Spartans play yesterday, so that was a great win for that squad. And we were just, you know, wanting to get some of your opinions on this college thing because of the fact is that Georgia Tech, they're, you know, the sanctions are going away. I think I saw South Carolina with some sanctions. And my question to you, Deshaun Tate, is if you're not going to win or contend for a championship, why are you getting in trouble?
Well, first of all, this feels a little bit weird because usually when I come on with Andy and Randy, I'm not really known as Deshaun Tate. I'm more so known as Light Skin.
The thing is, Deshaun, I'm trying to be more professional at my job. And so I want the guests to feel welcomed. Okay? And so I'm trying to make you feel welcomed.
What is happening right now?
Well, I'm usually always called Light Skin by Randy, and he didn't come to me with the – Yeah.
All right, man. Never mind. That sounded good.
Yeah, but anyway, no one likes
yeah,
that.
Yeah, what's going on, Light Skin, man? I see that you got a chance to see your Spartans last night. We were chopping it up yesterday, and my question to you was going to be about the Big Ten because Michigan, they just beat Ohio State. They beat Iowa last night, and now they're playing Illinois this weekend. Are they the only team that you think that can beat Gonzaga if the chances are they both beat in the championship?
Absolutely not. Maybe in a championship scenario. I think if Gonzaga met up with Florida State on the way to the Final Four, I think Florida State can knock them just based off the fact that, you know, Florida State's one of those teams that's been knocking on the door consistently, kind of like the way that Villanova was prior to 2016. Then they eventually kicked that door down. That's typically something that we see that happens. But outside of that, I mean, they're a very disciplined team. Their athletic team as well. Most teams that have that kind of success has a lottery pick somewhere on their roster. Scotty Barnes, a 6'7", 6'8", point guard that they have on the roster. So all those things make a difference. Very athletic and so forth. But in a national championship scenario, I wouldn't be willing to go that far. Now, Michigan obviously has a chance to do something like that if they meet up with Gonzaga in the national championship game. And I know that everybody's been talking about Baylor and Gonzaga, but that window is kind of starting to slowly close as Michigan has been showing some impressive play as of late.
Michigan State has too, and we're not just saying it because you're on the show. They've gotten wins over the number 4 and number 5 team in the country over the last week, and they got two games coming up against Michigan to close the regular season schedule out as well at the end. What is leading to Michigan State playing so much better over the last week or so?
Well, you know what typically happens. We start getting closer to March, and I know that's not something that everybody is, you know, a believer in, but that's typically when Michigan State plays their best brand of basketball. They're getting it done a little bit more defensively and starting to kind of show that Spartan pride a little bit more, crash the glass, the things that Michigan State built and established this program on since Tom Izzo has been there and wanting to be in the same conversations with the other Blue Bloods, but more so in a good way outside of this year. But, you know, it's just one of those things, you know, they're going the rotation. The only thing that's really been consistent is that the rotation has been consistently inconsistent, if that makes sense. But being able to have a deep bench going down the stretch is something that will always help teams, particularly in the going into the NCAA tournament, in addition to always having one of those tougher strength of schedules.
Hey, Tate, being a little local, talking about the Bulldogs. And as far as, you know, they had a nice win the other day, but, you know, they're still on the outside looking in kind of as far as the an SEC team making the tournament. Where are they at in terms of inside the SEC themselves? Because it's not really a stronger class with the Kentuckys and the Floridas and all these teams down right now.
Say that again. I'm sorry.
I'm talking about as far as Georgia's trying to make it to the NCAA tournament. I mean, they got a really good home record, but on the road, it seems like they lose the teams that they shouldn't. What are their chances of getting in amidst the SEC not being as strong as it has been over years?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about Georgia is that, you know, they are in a position to where they definitely need to win some conference tournament games for sure. I mean, at this point, they're one that has to win the conference tournament. But the thing that I think has been better for them is that they have been competing in games and winning games this year that you probably wouldn't think that they would win. Now, in other cases, they've been losing some games that they probably should win as well. But they're not the only ones in that conversation, not only in the SEC, but also nationally. You could say that about just about everybody, with the exception being Baylor and Gonzaga. So I think that the main thing for them is they've got a transfer in Kier, who has been doing a really good job, and also – Sevier Wheeler is the heartbeat of that team.
Yep.
Little point guard, I think he's a sophomore, and he plays with a very, very fearless mentality, and I like that about him. And they're going to go as far as he goes. He's the one that's kind of like the key to that ignition to an extent. And I mean, they're pretty well coached as well. So I think all of those things help. I'll tell you one thing about Georgia, and I think I may have mentioned this to you guys last week. There's not a team that I think, Alabama included, there's not a team in the SEC that I don't think that Georgia can beat. The problem with that is that every team in the SEC can beat Georgia.
Yeah, that seems to be their deal, is they'll go beat a team that they're better than and look really good, and then they'll go out against a team that either they should be able to compete with, maybe not quite as good as, and get blown off the court. It's been very inconsistent for them this year. What about Tech? Tech's been playing better lately, got another nice win earlier this week against Virginia Tech by double digits. I know Pastner was on the radio station earlier today rattling off all the things that this Tech team has done that no Tech team has done since 2002 and all that kind of stuff. It feels like they're getting pretty close to having a good resume to get into the tournament. Is that right?
Yeah, I think that they're going to get in, honestly. They also need some help in the conference tournament probably too, but not nearly as much as Georgia does. Right now, being on a three-game winning streak always helps. And being in an ACC that is down, I think, helps them a little bit too, because they're going to come away with some of those wins. Now, they are eighth in the ACC, so that's not nothing necessarily worth sneezing at. But they've got to make sure that they finish strong, because they've got Syracuse coming in to McCamish Pavilion, as well as Duke coming in as well. Those are two of their last three games, and make sure that you don't overlook Wake Forest in the process, because right. While they aren't all that great, Tech can tend to occasionally be trying to think of the word I'm looking for here, kind of vulnerable in some instances. I think the X factor for that particular team is Jordan Usher, a transfer who eventually came over from USC. Kyle Sturdivant is another one, but more so Jordan Usher. I don't think they have to worry near as much about their big three being Jose Alvarado, Michael DeVoe. Those are guys in that backcourt. I think they're pretty much set. So the main thing will be the contribution off the bench, and just being able to keep their head down to the pavement, making sure that they're not overlooking games. Control what you can control and make sure that you finish strong going into ACC conference tournament play.
Well, cool. Well, Deshaun Tate, a.k.a. Lightskin. Hey, man, we appreciate you, my brother. You still up there in Lansing or no?
I'm still here, man. I'll be around until probably Monday or so.
All right, well, my dog, man, you have safe travel. Make sure you tell Mon Dukes I said, what's up, my boy?
I definitely will, and I'm going to make sure I bring some of this snow back with me for
please
you.
No, please don't do that. Please don't do that.
The weather's better now. Deshaun Tate, thank you, Tate. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you next Friday. That's Deshaun Tate there, our college basketball insider. Brought to you by Jersey Mike's, a sub above. Joining us every Friday at 12:20 leading into and during the NCAA tournament. Hey,
at New Edition's peak, I wish I was Bobby.
Yeah. Yeah, that would have been really fun.
Yeah, man.
It would have been a really fun life to live. Follow Deshaun on Twitter, by the way, at Tate's Take Hoops. That's where basketball lives, Randy. We'll come back and get to Sports Jeopardy. Sports Jeopardy on a Friday. It's a tradition unlike any other. Don't go anywhere. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
There it is. Some mistakes.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game, the midday show with Andy and Randy. Happy Hour Friday, brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey, just about a minute away from Sports Jeopardy, playing all the hits from 1988. This song reminds me of listening to tape cassettes on that Sony Walkman that was yellow.
Oh, bruh.
The yellow Sony
the yellow
Walkman.
I had this album. This is the first album I ever bought.
Like what do you mean? Like a like an actual record, or was on the tape, or what?
Yes, Andy, an actual record.
You had the record of this. That's
yes.
Awesome. God, that would be so cool to still have.
Yes, I, man, Winnie was just asking me about because I was telling you about the little chick that broke my heart. Mm-hmm. Like
Candace.
She's like, yeah, Candace Hunt. Uh-huh. Candace Hunt. And so I'm like, because I know my mom has, if you go up in mom's attic, it's so much stuff from when we were, and I think my mom might have my fourth grade yearbook. Well, next time I go down there, I'm going to see if I can find it. Yeah, I'm going down and see if I can find it.
Yeah, that'd be good. Yeah. I mean, the people want to see, you know, who it was, who yeah, the perpetrator of the first
who just got me not
was.
Being able to trust, man. Exactly. Not being able to trust me, man. You know what I'm saying, dude? No.
Gave you these lifelong trust issues.
Gave me these lifelong scars, man.
Yeah, thanks a lot, Candace.
Thanks a lot, Candace. Andy, I used to steal my mama a little. Mama, back in the days, the lady, she used to wear all these bangle braces, Andy. Mm-hmm. So my mom had them, right? My mama wore like 20, 30 of them. And Andy, now, no, they were probably a mark. It probably cost one mark, right? Which is your money. Mm-hmm. And so I would actually, like, with your mama, like, would leave, and I would go steal them. And I would, like, every like, Thursday, Andy, I would, like, wrap it up in, like, some paper and give it to her as a gift, Andy.
Really?
Yes. And wow. This heifer left me for a poster.
Did you get them back when she left you for the poster of New Kids on the Block? Or
well,
did she keep
well
them?
Luckily, Mama had, like, 100 of the things, and she didn't miss them.
She didn't
because
miss.
Okay. If it was, like, three or four, and Mama's like, where my damn bra? Oh, I would have got them.
Yeah, I would have it.
So Candace might still have those bracelets.
She might, dude.
It's possible.
Yeah, she might.
All right, we'll get to what's trending top of the 1 o'clock hour, 15 minutes away. 45 minutes away from Randy's Ramble, by the way.
Oh, my God. If there wasn't a guy who had needed his fun area rearranged, it's this guy.
Oh, yikes. Okay, we'll get there at 1:30. Let's get to Sports Jeopardy.
Okay. Brought to you by Relay Graduate School of Education. Enroll today at www.relay.edu.
Andy.
Randy.
Those are your buzzers. And Randy, you said Candace almost made you cry.
I did not say that. Wendy, don't you be doing that.
I mean, I heard
Wendy.
I heard.
Wendy, I was an 8-year-old, almost 10-year-old boy, okay?
Yeah.
It was my first love.
Hey, the first girl that broke up with me, I cried.
It's okay.
Andrea Menzel.
There was no brutal. Tears. No tears came out my eyes.
You sure?
Mind
I'm 100% sure.
Did they get the watery before you would, like, blink?
Oh, yeah, they got watery because I was up. Because the way I found out Wendy was messed up, okay? All right? The way she broke the news to me was messed up, okay?
How?
How?
Huh?
How?
She sent her friend over there to break up with me.
That's the same thing Andrea Menzel did.
At least be a grown-up.
Oh, same situation, Randy. Yeah. I did cry, though. I was heartbroken.
I wasn't crying.
Well, one of you guys is about to be heartbroken in Sports Jeopardy. You like that transition?
Yeah, I cry when I lose Sports Jeopardy as well.
I know you do.
If you don't know how Sports Jeopardy works, you guys submit the trivia questions. I ask the guys the trivia questions. Whoever has the most points at the end wins Sports Jeopardy, and it's usually Andy lately. So here we go. We're going to start here. Who is the all-time leader in fumbles in NFL history?
Andy.
Andy.
Adrian Peterson?
That is incorrect.
Hmm.
Fumbles?
This is a good one.
That's a really good
one.
That
is a good one.
That's a really good one. Randy.
Randy.
Walter Payton?
That is incorrect. No. Brett Favre. Oh! 166
I
fumbles.
Had
wow.
Brett Favre was the first name that came to mind.
Yeah.
You got to go with your gut.
Some guy that played a whole bunch of games.
It was the first name that came to mind.
166, that's a lot.
It is a lot. The Braves became the Atlanta Braves in 1966. What city did they hold
Randy.
Spring training in?
Oh, man.
1966. Randy?
You
can just guess a city at this point.
Tampa?
That's incorrect.
Orlando?
You guys are both close. West Palm Beach, Florida, at Municipal Stadium.
Palm Beach. There you go.
So both of you guys have donuts in your points category. Number three, how many players are part of the 3,000 hit club in baseball? Closest to the number gets it.
Oh, okay.
How many players are part of the 3,000 hit club in baseball? Andy, you can go first.
26.
Okay. Randy?
27. I don't know.
Randy gets it. It was 32.
There we go.
Damn, Price is right. Thanks a lot. All right.
Randy
Fair
is
enough.
On the board. That's what happens sometimes when you go first.
I know. That's why I was waiting. But
I was waiting for you, too.
All right.
1-0. Randy on top. Drew Brees owns 4 of the top 5 highest completion percentages for a season. Who owns the other?
Ooh.
Andy.
Andy.
Chad Pennington.
Yeah.
Incorrect.
Oh, really? Really? Oh, I would have thought it was Chad. I would have thought it was Chad. Randy.
Randy.
Tom Brady?
Sam Bradford.
Wow.
Oh, that really?
Yeah, he did throw the ball accurately.
Yeah, he did. He was accurate. He just couldn't stay healthy. He couldn't stay whole.
Healthy. Yeah.
Still 1-0. Randy is in the lead. Who is the only player to hit 50-plus home runs and have 50-plus steals in their first two MLB seasons?
Andy?
Yeah.
Ronald Acuna?
Ronald Acuna is correct.
All right.
Hopefully we get to see him in person this year.
Yeah. Saw him on TV yesterday. Looks fit.
We are tied at...
Looking jacked.
Say that about another man, Andy.
He's an athlete. It's okay.
We're tied at one apiece. Who did the Colorado Rockies pick with the 140th pick in the MLB draft in 2010? Hint, this player wound up playing a different sport.
Okay.
Randy.
Randy. Wow, really?
Oh, my God. 2010. Greg Olson?
That's incorrect.
So, wait. The Colorado Rockies with the what pick?
140th pick.
Okay, in 2010.
2010. Hint, this player wound
Patrick
up.
Patrick Mahomes?
Wow. This player wound up playing a different sport, Russell Wilson.
Oh,
duh.
I thought he got drafted by the Rangers. Dang it.
I did. I thought he got drafted by the Rangers, too. Oh, okay.
I think didn't he get traded?
I don't know. Right. I'm not sure.
All right. Well, still tied at one apiece. Which Georgia quarterback holds the record for most total touchdowns in a single game?
Randy.
Randy.
Aaron Murray. It's just wrong.
Incorrect.
I know what it is.
You do?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
David Green?
Nope. DJ Shockley.
Oh, come on.
Five passing, one rushing against Boise State in 2015.
Yep. Dang.
Yep.
Wow, we're just going to go.
Sorry, Shock.
Sorry, Shock.
Keep going. In the last 30 years, there's been only two players to lead their league in home runs and win the Gold Glove in the same year three times.
Wow.
Give me one of those players.
Andy.
Andy.
Andy?
Ken Griffey Jr.
That's correct. Nolan Arenado would have been the other.
Wow. Jeez.
We'll do one more just to see if Randy can tie it up because we still got a little bit of time. Who was the last Georgia Tech football player drafted in the NFL, and what year was he drafted?
Oh, you can have that, Andy.
I don't know the answer.
Okay, hold on. Last one to get drafted?
Mm-hmm.
Was it Itachi?
Incorrect. It would have been Tyler Davis, the tight end. He was a sixth-round pick in 2020.
Okay.
And he went to the Jacksonville Jaguars.
All right.
So this means Andy wins.
Hey, all right. All right. Very exciting victory once again. Wow, that was a tough one. That was a tough Sports Jeopardy today. Whatever. I'll take the win. All right, we'll come back. We'll get to what's trending to kick off the 1 o'clock hour. Randy's Ramble at 1:30. The AMA at 1:40. Get your questions in. Any question, any topic. We'll answer them to close the show out. Final hour of the week on a Happy Hour Friday brought to you by Chattanooga Whiskey. Coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.